This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Man, there's a lot going on. Stuff away from sports. Well, it is going to impact you in sports. Fox, 20th Century Fox, and Disney today's huge deal. Some of you have been following this, I'm sure, today on social. Fox Sports Arizona is part of that deal. Of course, our show airs on Fox Sports Arizona, so it'll be interesting to see. Our TV show airs over on Fox Sports Arizona. Good people there. Now Disney is buying them, as well as all the FS region. Eventually, we're all going to be owned by the mouse, or we'll just do our own thing. And you know what I've said about the mouse? Don't upset him, which is good. It's a good day. Fernando Rodney's not going to be with us anymore. I'm not disappointed by this. It wasn't the cap sideways. It wasn't the arrow in the air stuff. He had his personal reasons for doing all that, by the way. You should understand that, know that, and I'm sure many of you do. But it was just the simple standpoint of when it comes to a closer, just close the game. And there were times where Fernando Rodney was really good. We're going to get to that here in a bit. I tried to sit through the Suns in Toronto last night, and I just keep going back to life is just too damn short. And there's no Devin Booker, and the arena just looks, sounds. When I'm watching a game in a short period and I hear the shoes squeak, it just should never be like this in Arizona. And I feel like I'm repetitive and redundant because the team has been repetitive and redundant. They've stunk. And last night was just another, just dreadful. The story about RG3, we're going to talk about RG3 because RG3 said the Cardinals pursued him last year before this season started, last off season. There is the last Thursday night football game of the year, mercifully, thankfully, tonight. Herm Edwards, to this point, has lost recruits. He has not gained new recruits as of yet. There's just all sorts of things going on the recruiting front. Brock Purdy, the player of the year in 6A, getting offered by Alabama as a preferred walk-on last night. So let me get this straight. ASU and Alabama have both said, we want you to come here as a preferred walk-on. But no Power 5 program thinks that he's good enough because he just doesn't measure in above 6'2". It's the goofiest thing. And the backstory on how Alabama got to him is funny. I have to cross. I don't know how many lines I can cross on that one, but I'm going to share some of that on the show today. But let's go dive into Fernando Rodney here a little bit further. And first and foremost, we want to say that opening comments on this show and my thoughts as we get things off and running with Jimmy Vaccaro coming up at 10:20 and Goody at the Movies. Goody's only talking Star Wars today. We're just doing Star Wars. If you want to geek out on Star Wars, it'll be with Bill. But we're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now. Guys, protect what matters most. Go online to sagicornow.com. Get your free quote. Life insurance, it matters. Take care of your family. Take care of your business. If something happened to you today, what would the future hold for those that you would be leaving behind? Sagicor Now. Appreciate the people at Sagicor Now for supporting what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. We are self-funded. That means the people on this show say we believe in what you are doing. We want to help you do it. And we've been at it for 6 years. So we appreciate those that give us their support. Is it going to be Shiffrey? Is it going to be Boxberger? Is it going to be, who's going to be the next closer that fans are going to want to point out and say, see, he's the problem? The deal on closers in Major League Baseball is there's always got to be a player on teams. It doesn't matter if it's the Cardinals, doesn't matter if it's the college, it doesn't matter if it's hockey, whatever it is. But in baseball, you have to have somebody to be mad at. Usually a third base coach doesn't know what he's doing, according to many people, when they lose games because, bad third base coach. Or it's this player's fault. There's always a guy that gets the heat. Fernando Rodney was that guy. if you go back to the Diamondback season and you go to the middle of the year in July in L.A., where Rodney just gagged away a couple, people never forgave him from that. But it's no different than if it's Greg Olson or Matt Manti. It's no different than think of any of the closers through the years that the Diamondbacks have had. Yeah, there's been ones that have come in and they've gotten the job done and they moved right through it. But by and large, the role of closer in most major league, for most major league teams, is not the Mariano Riveras or every time or the Trevor Hoffmans that just roll right in and all season long they're perfect. The thing with Rodney was there was the look that he had with the cap sideways and the arrow that people didn't know about. It drove me crazy that that was such a point of emphasis after every game. But I get it. It's a production, meaning that you're watching the game and you've got to see the arrow be shot as part of the production. My way of looking at production is just the number that is next to S and V in the column for save. That's it. And so here in this offseason for the Diamondbacks, has this been a good offseason for the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team that went into the postseason, a team that thrilled everybody, a team that is the closest to getting to a championship of any of the teams that we have here in Arizona? It is the baseball team. It is the Diamondbacks. But have they had a good offseason? If you're to look across the Major League Baseball fruited plain, where would you give the Arizona Diamondbacks in terms of where they've gone here? What would you say about them? They've added a closer in Boxberger. They lost Chris Iannetta. They lost Fernando Rodney. Look, you're going to lose players every year. I understand that. I get that. They also have yet to address what I consider to be the 800-pound elephant in the room in this offseason, and that is the future of Paul Goldschmidt here. I'm one of the few that I get beat up on this by some people down there that you're focused so much on Goldschmidt. Yeah, because when it's that valued of an asset, doesn't mean they're not valuing it either. It's just the idea that he's making as little as he is making, comparatively speaking, as you're sitting there with your job saying, what do you mean, Brad, he's making a little? In the industry that he's in, Paul Goldschmidt is extraordinarily underpaid for what he has done. I think if you look at where we are today in terms of J.D. Martinez, J.D. Martinez has yet to pull the ripcord to get out of here. And yet, the Diamondbacks, again this morning, there's late rumblings and rumors and written reports about Pat Corbin. Again this morning, fresh stuff of the Diamondbacks trying to trade him. Zach Greinke and his name that's out there. So the longer that Martinez sits on the sideline, is that typical Scott Boros where he's just waiting for the market to play itself out? Or is it the Diamondbacks are in a space where, you know, let us try to make some of these moves happen because we'd love to have you back? I think you could look at it both ways on this one. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Has their offseason been a rousing success? To this point, I'd say no. Do you need to make major changes to an organization that had such great success last year? Well, when your power hitting right fielder is a free agent, it doesn't look as though he's going to come back. And your star pitcher, you're shopping him around out there. Those are pretty significant pieces. So it's an incomplete today. Some teams are sitting there already grading their offseason saying, look at what we've done. It's pretty easy if you're the Yankees to say, look at what we've done. We've made a couple of deals. Chase Headley out here, and Chase Headley could be moving somewhere else in San Diego. But the best team that we have going in our state is the baseball team. They are. The football team, the pro football team, is in a rebuild from my point of view. The window closed. There's a feeling of staleness around that team, I think, within the community. So talk much more about that. This story about RG3 turning down an offer from the Cardinals, weigh in on that front. Some college basketball. Sean Miller paying compliments to Bobby Hurley. You will hear and see him. But up next, we'll go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro will join us into a big weekend of games. Longtime Vegas odds maker Jimmy Vaccaro checking in with us. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. We'll get to Jimmy Vaccaro in a minute in Vegas. Busy weekend for him. Hope to catch up with him in this segment on a day where Fernando Rodney is no longer here. That means we have to talk about Mike Koploff and Jose Valverde and Byung-Hyun Kim. No, we're not just going to do that. I want to shift over because we're going to do some recruiting stuff at 10:35 and then Goody at the movies. And when Jimmy is able to drop in, we'll get Jimmy on board. So the deal yesterday was it's actually refreshing when I hear Arizona State and Arizona and people that are living in the now rather than 30 years ago where there's this, all this hate and all this nonsense. It's actually been a really good year for when Frank Cush passed away and the University of Arizona put Frank Cush up on their video board. That was cool. That was a really nice tribute, and it was up there for a while. It wasn't just there for a little bit. I thought the football game this year was very entertaining, spirited and entertaining. I think the basketball programs, because of the fact that Bobby finally has Arizona State headed in a direction. Remember, 1981 was the last time Arizona State basketball was ranked in the top 10. It's just been putrid. There's no other way to put it. And so if history tells us anything, this has never really been much of a rivalry at all. ASU goes down to Tucson and gets crushed. And occasionally they come away with a victory, occasionally, but I think that's all finally changing. The two are probably on some equal ground here. If you look at what happened to U of A in the offseason, Book Richardson, the FBI, some young players that have come in, they really haven't quite come together. And yet through all that, yesterday, Sean Miller, in a classy way, and for those of you that just want to hate, I don't know, life's just too damn short, I think. This was about as classy as it gets. Sean was asked yesterday at his weekly get-together with media in Tucson about Arizona State, 9-0 start, ranked fifth in the nation, ahead of U of A by a long ways in the rankings. This was Sean Miller, and this was yesterday.
Well, I think the days of cheering against a Pac-12 opponent ended many, many years ago. I don't know if everybody feels that way. It's almost like human nature that you don't want certain teams to win because, you know, it almost puts more pressure on you. That's not the case here with how I feel or how we feel. There couldn't be a better moment for the Pac-12 than ASU's win at Kansas. It gives our conference credibility, it allows more teams in our conference to get into the NCAA tournament. Not just ASU, but when you have an RPI as high as they have, they're ranked as high as they are, you know, it's like a balloon. You know, it pulls everybody else up in the league.
Get some good stuff there by Sean Miller. Their RPI, he keeps referring to RPI, which I'm pleased to hear. For years, I would talk about RPI, and I'd have people over at ASU say, why do you talk about our RPI? Because it stinks. Their RPI now is great. It's top 10 because they're playing big-time programs all the time. When they have the occasional Longwood that rolls through, that's only natural in scheduling. It's not like, oh, we have two games that we can look at in our preseason. No, this year you go through what Arizona State's been through, they deserve to be ranked where they are. And it could go even higher. Look, I'm sitting here saying they're not going to crap the bed on Sunday against Vanderbilt. I don't care if it's a sellout or not. This whole thing about, oh, well, fans aren't showing up, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The idea that they're not going to play as hard against Vanderbilt because there's a couple thousand empty seats, who cares? You have to realize this was a nowhere program. Nowhere. So it doesn't matter if it's Longwood next week or Pacific next week. I think they've got a 1 o'clock game next week, Eric. It's one of those school games. I think our buddy Jeff Munn may text me on that one. I could look it up, but I want to say they have a 1 o'clock game next week in one of those two. Anyway, so Bobby Hurley spoke later in the day yesterday, and Eric went out to Bobby's deal with the media. So here is Bobby Hurley on Sean Miller and his reaction. This was from Coach Hurley. This was yesterday.
You know, super proud to be considered in that company at this stage of the season. There's just a lot. You know, a lot of basketball left to be played, and I know that there's people that feel that we have at this moment, you know, the best resume in terms of winning neutral site wins, championship on a neutral site against, you know, top programs, and then to go on the road and win that type of road game. It's just it rarely happens. So, you know, I appreciate Sean, you know, saying that. And I think we got to push for each other, you know, in the Pac-12 and support each other, you know, as best we can.
He's just dead flat right. This whole deal of, well, it's a great day when U of A loses and ASU wins. No, it's not. This is going to help the conference to finally have a bottom feeder like Arizona State be relevant on a national stage. That 1 o'clock game is next Friday. Friday the 22nd, they play Pacific at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. It's probably because it's the last day of school before break. Parents, teachers want to find something, anything to get their kids off campus. So why not go to an Arizona State basketball game? Or it's, look, we can fly Pacific in on a Thursday night and they can get out of here and we only have to pay for one night hotel, something like that. So it's Vanderbilt on Sunday, Longwood on Tuesday, Pacific next Friday. And then they're off till the 30th when Arizona State plays Arizona. You know, I'm big on what Arizona's doing this year. I'm not one of those that is all wound up about, well, they're just not having a good season and all that stuff. By their standards, they're not. But Sean's got a team, and if you've watched this show consistently, you know that I'm not one that sits here and just sugarcoats it away and says, you know, go Wildcats and A players program and you guys lose every year in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And the response is, yeah, well, at least we get there. And because I didn't attend either school, I don't care. It's when you tell me how great you are and then you always come up short, that just leaves something to be desired, a little left to be desired. And there are those that follow and wear their red and blue and that are big cigars that are a little fatigued that this program has not been able to get over the top. I still think if you look at U of A, they have the potential this year to be a program that is Final Four worthy. I saw some mock drafts this morning that came out that ranked Marvin Bagley and DeAndre Ayton as 2 and 3, and I would switch that. I would take DeAndre Ayton over Marvin Bagley if I'm starting a team. I absolutely love what DeAndre Ayton is all about. I think there's more giddy up to his game. It's a different type of game. They're different type of players. How does it translate to the next level? When you watch DeAndre Ayton play, guys, if you're Arizona State, are you going to end up playing small ball against them? You can talk about how Mickey Mitchell's come back. You can talk about your front line. None of those players are close to DeAndre Ayton. But I think if you look at the backcourt of the two, I'm not as big a Trier guy as everybody else is. I've seen, you know, Alonzo Trier just to me has times where he's coasting, puts up some bad shots. Sean jumped on him a couple weeks ago about defense. This game on the 30th, it cannot get here soon enough. I'm hoping that both teams continue to play well, that both teams are in a space where when they do meet on the floor, that if Arizona State keeps winning these next three games, they're going to be somewhere around 3 or 2, maybe even 1. It depends on what happens in front of them. They're not going to sit there at 5 for 2 straight weeks if they win 3 games in a row. Especially with as much pub and press, Arizona State's done a very good job of getting Bobby Hurley out there. He was on SVP last night over on ESPN. Bobby's been doing the media circuit here in town, and it's great. It's great to see that for the program. I just want to see U of A continue to get better. Nothing would be more fun for me than to see a 2 against a 10 or a 2 against a 15 here by the time we get to the end of the month. I don't want to see one team just constantly beat the tar out of the other. That's not a rivalry. It's not a rivalry. Tim Healy was on with us earlier this week, and he talked about the 15-2 run that Kansas had on ASU to open the game up on Sunday. That's pretty much how it's gone when you're in Tucson every year. Shouldn't be that way. This year will be different. But it was really classy, professional, nice to see Sean and Bobby. And Bobby's never going to be that guy, nor is Sean. I think Sean's been ambivalent to the whole ASU U of A thing. It feels to me like a lot of that is people that are over the age of 45. Just they grew up in an era where you just had this hatred. And now as time's gone on, it's like, meh, it's the team we're playing on the schedule. We'll step aside here. Got some things on RG3 and the Cardinals. What does a preferred walk-on mean from Alabama? If you have a preferred walk-on from Alabama offer and Arizona State offer, what does that mean if you're the top quarterback in the state of Arizona? Because he has both of them. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussman. So in about 6 minutes, we're going to make this segment a little bit shorter than usual because it's going to be goody at the movies. And Bill saw Star Wars the other day. Star Wars debuts tonight. There'll be lots of kids missing school tomorrow because they're going to be too well to attend. You're probably not going to want to work tomorrow because some of you, maybe some of you are watching this on your device while you're already camped out and sitting in line. I am going to see it on Monday, but Bill has seen it and we want some extra time for him. So let me zip through a couple other things that have happened in the sports cycle that to me are interesting. We may have a guest that drops in here because today is just one of those days where people are chasing and we may get somebody and we may not. It's fine. So RG3 comes out and does an interview and says that he turned down an offer from the Arizona Cardinals because they had too many quarterbacks in their roster, wouldn't get enough snaps. He had two teams that reached out to him. The Cardinals were one of them. He admitted to that. This would have been last offseason. So the Cardinals decide, let's take a flyer on RG3. Well, Blaine Gabbert, Carson Palmer, Drew Stanton, Matt Barkley. Let's just go down the list of all the guys that have been hovering around the Cardinals for the last year. And yet RG3 said, quote, I love football. I miss football. So let me get this straight. Let me just try to wrap my arms around this. I love football. I miss football. But no, Arizona, I'm not going to come work out for you because I'm not going to get enough reps because you have too many quarterbacks on your roster. Do you want somebody who doesn't want to compete? I'm sorry, we have too many sales reps. You're going to have to start out at the bottom with the find your own list. They are all established. We might have room. Well, no, I'm better than that. Yeah, but you need work. And you say, no, I'm better than that. So put yourself in any industry, whatever it is that you're doing right now. I love it. I miss it, but I'd rather just sit on the sideline and not work. Do you want that guy on your team? I mean, come on. If you're his agent, aren't you just like, dude, you're burying yourself. Yeah, I really don't want to go play at Bruce Arians. Larry Fitzgerald, why would I want to be on the same? David Johnson, come on. I'm better than that. I love football. I miss football. We should use that line every day when we start doing the show. And I don't really want to do the show. I love doing the show. I miss doing the show. I'll have Jordan do the show. I'll have Haley do the show. Eric, you can do the show. Jared, you can jump in here. Man, come on, guys. If you're going to play, then get after it. It's a good weekend in the NFL. You've got the Packers with Aaron Rodgers against Carolina. You've got the Patriots and the Steelers. The Patriots-Dolphins game the other night did a horrible Monday Night Football rating. The ratings this year, we've talked about over and over and over. You get tired of hearing about it. But I would tell you that the football here in the last couple of weeks, I'm not going to say across the board, it's not like the Cardinal game on Sunday is anything against Tennessee that's going to be sent over to Canton and enshrined as great football. It wasn't. However, there are some games that you look at and say the Rams and Eagles was very fun. Not just because it was high scoring, Carson Wentz gets hurt, all that stuff. It's just there was the excitement of the game. There were some well-played moments. Does the officiating blow? Sure it does. Are there players that act like fools like in Jacksonville and Seattle? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Are we worn out with Jerry Jones? We care what Roger Goodell is making. The concussion thing you've heard about over and over and over. Now it's Larry Johnson coming out with his videos and his story. Doesn't mean I'm minimizing it. You guys know I'm totally on board with that. But I think there comes a point where you're either fatigued and you just want your football or you're done with it. And it's fine either way. I vacillated between the two this year. There's some Sundays where it's been DVR Sunday because I'm out enjoying 70-degree weather with my family. I just think that this product's not as good as it once was. Does it matter to me that if the college football ratings aren't as good as they once were? This college football ratings this year were not great. So there were some things this year on the football end that weren't great because it's going to take me over to the high school end and college end. So Herm Edwards is trying to go out and get some kids to commit to him that have not committed already to the program. He is losing kids, but it's very early in the process. I think for Arizona State, the narrative next Wednesday is going to be, well, he got a late start and we lost some kids, but we're happy with who we have. And let's see where we are the first week of February. Brock Purdy's name is one that you have heard about if you've watched this show. If you've paid any attention at all to high school football this year or college football recruiting, Brock Purdy is a name that probably has caught your eye or your ear. Brock Purdy is sitting here less than a week away as a 6A player of the year. rallied his team to almost beat Chandler in the state championship game, but his measurables aren't as high. His height is not 6'2". It's a little below that. Thus, he has not garnered Power 5 Division I offers from top to bottom. What he has been offered now in the last week is Arizona State has offered the Perry High School quarterback what they call a preferred walk-on. A preferred walk-on is this. You're going to have a spot on the team, but we're not going to give you a scholarship. Either we're not able to or we're unwilling to offer you a scholarship. But we love you as a player, so come here and play. I want to take you on a date, but I'm going to drop you off at the door. We're never going to get married. That's the way it is. So now Alabama comes into the mix for Brock Purdy, as you see him there at quarterback. Alabama yesterday offers him a preferred walk-on. If he's good enough to be offered preferred walk-ons by Arizona State and Alabama, and he decides he wants to walk on, which way would he go? I spoke to the dad on this one, because I think these type of stories, it's easy for me to sit here and write about what's going on with the Cardinals. It really is. It's not brain surgery with what's going on here. Not demeaning what everybody else is doing. It's you see it. We all see it. Just because we have a laptop and a password doesn't make us any smarter than everybody else out there. We see what's going on. And the same thing on the college end. Same thing with the Suns. I think all of you see what's going on with the Suns. It's nothing more than a moneymaker and put an inferior product out there for years and years and years. It's a brilliant business model by Robert, who's a banker. The Diamondbacks, it's a tough call on that one, I think. But when it comes to the measurables of a kid, and a kid not being given an opportunity when he's the player of the year, and I've gone and stood on sidelines on Friday nights. I've stood on sidelines on Saturday nights. Sat in the press box on Sundays. It's football. Different level, different speed, got it. But when you have a kid that's offered a preferred walk-on by Alabama and Arizona State, if I'm sitting there as a mid-level Pac-12, if I'm Oregon State, why am I not offering Brock Purdy? Kansas met with him. These are not high-profile programs willing to offer him scholarships as of yet, but they are programs that are in Power 5 conferences. This will go down. Brock Purdy's recruitment will go down as one of those. One of the things I want to do on this with this company is sit on stages with Jason and Eric and Jordan and go through the recruiting process and do a question and answer and have a kid like Brock Purdy sit up there and say, yeah, here's all the numbers. Here's what we had to do to get me recruited. They're actually realistic. They're willing to go junior college, which is smart. It's very smart. Aaron Rodgers went community college. You don't have to be all elitist on me on this one. If you want to play football, then go play football. So it's smart on his part. All right, we'll break here a little early for Goody because I want some time on Star Wars. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in sports coming into the great sports weekend, it is time for what you're going to do outside of sports, which is go see Star Wars over and over and over. It is Goody at the Movies. AZ Central and Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic Bill Goody Koontz, who has seen the Star Wars newest, The Last Jedi. This is a 40-year-old property now, Star Wars. I read that there's like 160 sets that were built for this one, which George Lucas thought was too many. This seems to me to be way, way, way over the top, but from Bill's ears to mine, is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's very good, but it's not. There are certain people that, you know, if it's just got Star Wars in front of it, you can count on it. They do this thing now where there's embargoes on reviews, right? Like your review can't come out until a certain time. And I think the embargo for this was like Tuesday at 9 a.m. or something like that. But what they'll allow you to do is in social media, you can say that you saw it and just give kind of a general impression or something.
Yep.
And now all these can I don't ever do that because I think it's stupid. But all these critics will jump on there and they'll say, every single one of them is, this is the best one since Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, sure, this one can be the best one since Empire Strikes Back. I don't care if that's what you want. It doesn't make it great. It makes it good. It is good. And there are a lot of moments that will look good on posters and look good on YouTube and look good, you know, when you're quoting movies. You know, there's a lot of iconic scenes and there's a lot of things that you're going to remember and that change the story forever and all that stuff. But the problem I had with it was I could see them all coming, and I can't see anything coming. I am terrible at that, which actually makes me a pretty good person to see a movie because, you know, everything surprises me.
Right.
I'm like a goat or whatever, you know. I wake up and every day is a new day. But I found it a little predictable. It's way too long. It's 2.5 hours long.
There's a whole
scene where they go to this kind of casino planet that they could have done without. I don't know. It's good. It's just not, you know, life-changing.
So Carrie Fisher passed away. Can you reveal how she is portrayed in this one?
She's in it a lot. She is, you know, now she's not Princess Leia. She's General Leia. And Leia. And she is in charge of what used to be the rebellion. Now it's called the resistance. I don't think that's a Trump thing. I think that they did that in the last movie. She runs it. But she is in the movie. She's getting older, and she's maybe more cautious than some of the younger people would like for her to be. And you know, there are certain scenes in there, and I don't want to give anything away, but there's some poignant things in there where, you know, you think, well, she's not going to be around for the next one. By the way, that is in no way, shape, or form any kind of spoiler. That doesn't have anything to do with
her. Oh, come on, spoil it. Just get people mad at me. I think it's funny when people are like, you spoiled my fun. It's all you, Bill. It's Bill's fault. Brad's fault.
No. We will probably publish some spoilers tonight after the first round of people have been able to see it. But there'll be plenty of caveats that say, you know, like that this.
Don't read this.
You want to. Don't read it if you haven't seen the movie, for sure. I want to be one of those people who goes in there and says, oh, you know, my life will never be the same. It's so much better now that I've seen this. And, my life for 2.5 hours was certainly better for that 2.5 hours. But it didn't last coming out of. Hopefully my stories will get a lot of hits. That would make my life better.
That'd make your life better. You get a Christmas bonus.
If you say that this is the thing about these movies, you're kind of trapped. Because if you don't come out of it saying, you know, it was this like magnificent experience. Everybody gets on you and says, "Oh, why did you hate Star Wars? Why do you hate Star Wars?" It's like, I don't hate Star Wars.
Sure,
I like it a lot. But it's one of the. I mean, you know, the sports has parallels like this, and I think of somebody like a Patriots fan or something. You know, they're like, you know, the franchise, whether it's Star Wars or the Patriots, can do no wrong ever. Neither the Patriots nor Star Wars do very much wrong.
But aren't you
like some seasons are better than others?
Bill, aren't you one of those people though that when you're dialing around and FX has Star Wars on, don't you stop? Like The Godfather on AMC, are you one of those?
Yeah, but not to the extent of Godfather, but yeah, sure. I mean, I saw it. I'll tell you this, and this is the truth. And I've written about this before. The thing that I liked so much about Star Wars. I grew up in a small town in the mountains of Virginia, and Star Wars came out when I was really a young teenager. Yeah. And I remember that, and this was Jaws, by the way, was the first movie to play everywhere at the same time. The town I lived in, no matter how big a movie was, you had to wait sometimes as much as a month or two for it to come to your town. Jaws is the first movie that played everywhere all at once. And it did so well, they thought, hey, we're on to something here.
Right.
And, of course, Star Wars comes along and blows everything away. The thing that I thought was cool about Star Wars was it was on the cover of Time magazine, and I could go see it. And then I remember it was on Johnny Carson, and he was making jokes about it. And I thought, I can go to the Radford Movie Theater, and I can see that. And it made me – it was the first time, really, that I felt – connected to like a bigger world, like the world at large. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
And I thought that was really cool. I mean, I thought that was neat. But it was eye opening to me in that way. As a movie, it was like, yeah, it was good, but it wasn't the one that for so many people seems to be like, oh, this is what made me like movies.
Yeah, no,
and not just the directors too, stars too. A lot of people feel that way.
No, I agree with you on that. My daughter is going to go to the midnight showing tonight. She's 23, and it's just, she's grown up in that stage of Star Wars and Harry Potter. And I'm going to go see it next Monday with all nine of our family that's in for the holidays. So it's, but it is, it's one of those deals. So before you get out of here, so you and I saw Greatest Showman together, and I don't have a trailer on it or anything. You made a comment last week that there's some really good movies that are going to come out over the holidays that you hope people see, even though Star Wars is going to be the one that kills all of it. I think, like, Concussion came out a couple of years ago, the same time as Star Wars, and people missed it. Whether that was intentionally by the NFL telling the studios or not, that's my conspiracy theorist. I'll take that to my grave. Is The Greatest Showman one of those movies that you feel like people should see?
Nah, not really.
Not really? Okay.
It was
okay?
It was okay.
It was okay. All right.
Anyway, it was okay, but there are much better movies that are already out there.
Like?
Can you throw
a couple?
If Lady Bird's still knocking around out there somewhere, that's my favorite movie of the year. And by the way, my top 10 will be out this Sunday.
Ew.
Probably earlier on AZ Central. But also, three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri is really good.
Yep.
The Shape of Water is fantastic. The Greatest Showman is a good family movie, and you can go enjoy it with your kids, and there's songs and dance and stuff like that. And Hugh Jackman is a real song and dance man. I mean, people that only know him from Wolverine, I think, will be surprised, but that's his background. I mean, he's a show guy. He does that stuff.
All right.
Let me ask you one question before I have to leave.
Yeah. You don't have to leave, leave. I'm just kidding. We'll play the music. We'll play you off. How's that? What's your question?
Why is this such a great weekend for sports? The reason I think it's great is because they had the NFL games on Saturday, and forever, before the NFL Network came on, that meant that Christmas was close.
Yeah.
When they started, because college was done, and they started putting the NFL on Saturdays too. And that always got me excited.
Okay. So what's your question?
What's so great other than that about this weekend?
The games. Football. So I think Green Bay, Carolina this weekend's compelling. I think Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton is compelling. I think the Steelers and Patriots are compelling. I wasn't compelled to see Dolphins. I was not compelled to see Dolphins and Patriots the other night. I think the Ravens-Steelers game last Sunday night was pretty good. You know, for all the hate on the NFL, and God knows I'm sitting here leading the charge on a lot of this stuff, I think that it's pretty compelling this weekend because there are some storylines now. You can look at a team like Minnesota and how well they've played. Is Aaron Rodgers going to show anything? Can Seattle keep playing forward? I don't care about the Cardinals-Redskins. I don't. But I think that there's a lot of games.
My two favorite teams in the world. But
right. But who cares? You know. So, all right. Now I am going to let you go. I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Play Bill off. No, I'm just kidding. It's always good to catch up with Bill. Our work is done for here on our daily show, our daily get together of things. We tape this at 10 a.m. We do it live to tape at 10 a.m. If you're catching this at any other time during the day, we put this in podcast form as well. It's all up on our website, sports360az.com. We are self-funded, which means that these sponsors that you see in commercial breaks, they're the people that believe in us and say, we believe in what you are doing, and we want to support you to continue to do it. So we appreciate those that are involved with us and those that are considering it. If you've just found us for the first time and you like what we do, get in touch with us. It's just that simple. We've been doing it for 6 years. We're going to head over to our website now, work on our content. High school, college, pro college, high school, very Arizona-centric. Got some national stuff too. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Those of you watching us over on AZ Central, we have our own website and we provide content to AZ Central. We appreciate the partnership with them. And we have a television show on Fox Sports Arizona as well. It airs 16 times per week. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.